Hi, this is Daniel Garber of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Pier Paolo Pasolini. You may have heard this name, but not know why. Well, he's an incredibly influential movie director from Italy. He was a novelist, poet, and director born in Bologna who got his start in movies writing screenplays, including Fellini's favorite, La Dolce Vita, before directing his own films. So his movies, he directed them from the 60s or early 70s when he was murdered, celebrated the poor, the outcast, people in the margins, and they would dig at the complacent middle class and the oppressive and corrupt church and government. And he's known for casting non-professionals in his films for their looks and authenticity. Big thing was naturalism. Pasolini was in the Italian Communist Party, but he was kicked out for his criminal activity. What was the crime? He was gay. So all of these, politics, sexuality, and literature and art, they all come together in his movies, which are beautiful to watch, full of laughter, but with a rough and tragic streak running through them. Pier Paolo Pasolini, the poet of contamination, is a retrospective of his movies now playing at TIFF, and I'm going to tell you about three of them, often called a trilogy, all based on medieval stories. Medieval stories? Yuck! But actually, they're extraordinarily beautiful films, and you really should see them when you have the chance on the big screen. Stunning, really good, touching, funny, fantastic. There's an English romp, an Italian comedy, and tales of Middle Eastern magic. So Canterbury Tales from 1972. So Chaucer, who wrote the book, is the collector of short stories written by religious or told by religious pilgrims on the road to Canterbury in 14th century England. So it's a place filled with monastic robes, pious nuns, Oxford students, religious pilgrims. But it's also a world full of shouting and drunkenness and belches and farts. There are actually three fart jokes in this movie, believe it or not. Old are all missing teeth. They're fat and ugly and prone to violence. The young, they're still beautiful, but they're also selfish and arrogant and somewhat dangerous. Everyone's apt to break into raucous, unscripted laughter while they're doing medieval stuff like milling corn or polishing eggs. So, and what do they all want? Well, it's a movie. They want sex and occasionally money. So they come up with complex schemes to cheat their husbands and wives. It's a very bawdy movie. B-A-W-D-Y, although there's lots of bodies too. So one of the earliest scenes shows a man being burned to death in the market square. He was caught having sex with another man, but was too poor to bribe the police. So he doesn't neglect the moving dark side of this. So also omnipresent is religion and the supernatural. So you have angels and devils and wood spirits showing up at your window to say hi as if they're just a passerby. Okay, so one of the stories is an arrogant student who fools his mentor into thinking a great flood is coming so he can sleep with his wife. And then there's three brothers who go from cavorting in a brothel to plotting dangerous and murderous schemes. And then there's the bright red devil, the devil himself, shooting black-clothed sinners of hell out of his ass. I'm not kidding. He shoots them out of his ass. I don't know how he did that. But so most of all, there's a place with large-breasted women and plain-faced men just standing around naked with not a care in the world. That's the look of this movie. The Decameron, 1971. So based on 14th century Italian writer Boccaccio's sexual comedy, these are picaresque stories centered on Naples and other medieval Italian cities. So there's women tricksters who fool hapless travelers and sinners looking for sex because, again, it's a sex comedy and it thumbs its nose at church-mandated restrictions. Here's a typical story. So there's a nunnery that's off-limits to all men, but the elderly but a young guy, sensing opportunity, he pulls his hat down low on his brow like Bob and Doug McKenzie, and he pretends to be a deaf, mute simpleton. So soon enough, all the nuns are sneaking out to the shed and lining up for the daily roll in the hay. But when the mother superior shows up for her turn, he starts saying, enough is enough. He talks to her. And what does she say? He speaks. It's a miracle. So he can stay safely in the nunnery forever. This is a great movie shot around ancient castles and down narrow alleys. Really good. I liked it even better than Canterbury Tales. Arabian Nights is from 1974, and of course it's the famous collection of stories within stories intertwined across the Arab world. So this one skips the Persian Scheherazade framework and instead uses as its linking story the loving relationship between a wise and beautiful slave girl named Zumurrud and her young master. So she's smarter than all the men she encounters and manages to somehow snub the potential rich buyers at her own auction because he says they're all men who won't satisfy her sexually, and instead chooses, even though she's a slave, her master of a handsome young man. But she's kidnapped by a spurned buyer via a Christian kidnapper. So this launches a series of journeys as she outsmarts the men she meets and eventually, disguised as a man with a fake beard, she rises to the level of king. And all along, it's her brother, her lover, Nur el-Din, who's trying to find her so they can be together again. So she's played, interestingly, by Inez Pellegrini, who's an Eritrean woman born in Italy. And he's played by Franco Merli, who's a teenage boy who Pasolini spotted at a gas station pumping gas. Typical. So Pasolini skips over all the famous stories, Ali Baba, Aladdin, Sinbad. Instead, he adapts the less well-knowns and emphasizes the sexy or magical parts. I love these movies. The only thing that doesn't quite appeal to me in some of them is his nostalgia for Charlie Chaplin and Laurel and Hardy stuff that maybe at the time it felt nostalgic, but now it looks just a little bit off. But like Canterbury Tales and Decameron, The Arabian Nights was rated X when it first came out. So there's lots of nudity, but compared to what you can see on a computer nowadays, it's very tame, sweet. It's almost naive. Some of the actors show up in all these films. Franco Chitti, he usually has bright red hair. He plays the devil in Canterbury Tales, he plays a homosexual in Decameron, and he plays a magical demon in Arabian Nights. And then there's Ninetto Davoli in all of Pasolini's movies. He's his former lover, and he has toothy-faced, curly-haired, plays clown, chaplain figures, and he bursts into tears in a second or stares dumbfounded at new things, sort of a clown. And of course, Pasolini himself appears as Chaucer and a painter in all his movies. He also appears in the movies. So Arabian Nights was shot in Ethiopia, Yemen, Iran, Nepal, and say the locations are breathtakingly beautiful, doesn't do them justice. It's mind-boggling, ranging from lunar landscapes and strange curved mud huts to cavernous cathedral-like ceilings with white and blue tiles in Iran and ancient wooden shrines in Nepal. And local actors and extras, they're part of the beauty and the authenticity of the scenery. Pierpaolo Pasolini, the poet of contamination, is playing now with the TIFF Bell Lightbox. Details on tiff.net. Beginning next Thursday is CFF, a festival of low-budget independent Canadian films at the Royal. Go to canfilmfest.ca for more information. This is Daniel Garber with the Movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.